It's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Debbie Good.
Our guest today is Paul Williams, Chief of Police of the Springfield Police Department. Chief Williams, how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected the operations of the Springfield Police Department?
You know, we've not been immune. It's affected us pretty much throughout everything we do, both in our interaction with the public and in our day-to-day business of how we respond to calls and investigate crime. So I think the most impactful has been the lack of engagement with the community. We're a very community-oriented police department, lots of citizen engagement. And, you know, since March, we have not had any neighborhood association meetings we've attended. We pretty much cut out all of our community events, National Night Out, for example. Probably the only thing I've been able to continue kind of a sporadic basis, my coffee with the chief, which I do monthly. I've been alternating those between virtual and in-person. The in-person ones have been limited gatherings, and that's one thing. And then just our response to 911 calls and citizen calls for service. We had to institute some policies right up front to let people aware that, man, we're going to try to maintain our distance. So don't be offended by that. If an officer would ask you to stay a certain distance away or meet them outside rather than coming into the house, we initiated those pretty quickly. Wearing masks and making sure everybody has the equipment available has certainly been a struggle that I think we're finally coming to grips with. We had to make some adjustments on people accessing the police department. So it's kind of affected everything throughout the day-to-day to the handling of criminal investigations.
Have you had many members out sick because of exposure and or illness?
We've been affected like everyone else, but I'm actually pretty proud of my folks and how they've handled this, how they responded. I think officers, like other first responders, fire and EMS workers, are at higher probability of contracting or being exposed to those who are positive. So with that in mind, we've been affected, but not to the extent I've seen a lot of other agencies across the country. The most we've had on quarantine at one time due to a potential exposure has been about 20, and we average about a half dozen. So have only had one officer or employee who's been seriously ill and been hospitalized, but they recovered. You know, we're dealing with it. We know it's there. We're taking all the precautions, and I'm pretty happy with the way the officers responded to keep them safe and keep the members of the public safe, who they then come in contact with.
Tell us about the specific procedures to stay safe, because I'm trying to visualize how somebody is going to arrest a suspect who's upset and yelling and whatever, and how they're going to limit their exposure to that particular suspect.
Well, the situation you described, there is no limit. I mean, we do everything ahead of time. The officers wear masks when they're interacting. We have hand sanitizer. We have some sanitizing equipment after the fact to cleanse the vehicles and uniforms, et cetera. But the situation you described, you know, an officer has to go hands-on and arrest somebody. All those precautions go out the window. Now it's about officer safety and making sure we keep the public safe and we take that person into custody. And then we'll worry about afterwards if they test positive, if they've been exposed to something. And the officers know that risk. And they accept that risk. It's a part of what we do on a daily basis, working with our citizens to keep everyone safe.
Do you know for certain that some of your officers have been exposed through interaction with people they're arresting?
Yes, we've had some of those. You know, we've worked really closely with the health department and our E911 folks. And early on, when this first started, we worked out a process where as the health department had positive tests and they were tracking those, we were able to flag those addresses and those people so officers would know ahead of time that they might have to take extra precautions. So instead of just wearing the regular cloth mask, put an N95 mask on and putting gloves on, up to the point that we had a couple instances where the officers had to put on their full Tyvek suit like we would on a crime scene to really protect them, knowing that they were going to be somewhere where someone was positive, they were quarantined, but we had to take action in some way, shape, or form. So those have been very few and far between, thank goodness.
Wow. Just one more question. Have you received very many mask ordinance complaints, and what do you do about them when you do have them?
Since the start of this, 750 masking complaints have come in through the Citizens Resource Center. Those are generally about businesses or reoccurring offenses. And then 570 calls have come in to the 911 center where people want an immediate response because they see someone not wearing a mask or a business is not compliant and they think it's a health issue. So about 1,300 since March, which isn't a lot, but there are those complaints. And we deal with those primarily through education and compliance. We have not had anyone been issued a citation because citations in the view of the officers is a secondary. You know, if you fail to comply, you persist and we have to respond again or we see you again, then you're going to get a ticket. So the ordinance, I think, is having a desired effect. The vast majority of folks in Springfield comply and realize that doing so is going to keep them safe and the other members in our community safe.
Thank you, Chief Williams, for being on our program today. Our guest has been Paul Williams, Chief of Police of Springfield Police Department. I'm Debbie Good, and this has been a program of the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. This program and others in the Making Democracy Work series are available on the web at ksmu.org.